Welcome, everybody. Shavua Tov. Thank you, Rabbi, for opening the shul for us and accepting us. Azad Hashem should have a lot of nachat from the congregation and atzlacha and everything you do. And I want to take the opportunity to say a very special thanks to the Gurevich family that went out of their way, bending backwards to, how do you say it here in America, bending over backwards? Working hard, Bekitzur, to make sure that all these events take place. Baruch Hashem, we had a beautiful Shabbaton with many lectures, and today, and last night, Amelave Malka, and today, Baruch Hashem, was very successful, and I hope that many souls were inspired and many people have changed, and the merit of the Gurevich family that brought us out here and helped organize everything. Hashem should bless you both with unbelievable success. And health, and nachat from the kids, and parnasa b'shefa, and erichut yamim, and shalom bayit, and everything your heart desires, Hashem should open all your paths for success and in abundance. You know, it's one of the biggest mitzvot when somebody takes out of their time, I'm not talking now out of their money, out of their time, to make sure that other people get affected, that other people get inspired, and they take out of their space from their home and their time to organize and needless to say their money to help cover expenses. There's no greater mitzvah than to go and make another person more spiritual. As Ad Hashem we're going to talk about, that's one of the things we're going to talk about tonight. But people should learn and to take an example that people go out of their way. It's, you don't need to be a rabbi or a Rebbetzin, in order to go and help another Jew to come closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're all able to do that, and we also have the obligation to do that. And it's beautiful to see somebody from the community that takes out of their time to make sure that everybody else can benefit and enjoy and go out of their way. So, b'emet, it's a very big mitzvah, so I personally appreciate all the efforts and everybody around who made it happen. Baruch Hashem, there are many people who participated in their time, in their money, in their pocket, to finance it, the expenses, everything else around it. Many people have worked hard. So Baruch Hashem, everybody should be blessed in an abundance. I appreciate it. I can assure you that the hundreds of people who attended the classes appreciate it, and needless to say, the thousands of people who are going to watch it online and will appreciate it. So the point here is to also take an example and to start initiating things yourself. So before we start, we just want to mention a few names that really need refuah. One of them is Yoel Ben Menya and Rina Rivka Reisel Tikva Bat Esther Stisha and Rina Bat Rivka. And Adel Eden Bat Olga, Nachum Binyamin Ben Reizel, Baruch Hashem, should all have a refuah shlema. And Leana Esther Bat Reizel. I don't want to start taking names now because we're going to be sitting here for half an hour, unfortunately. But Kol Kalal Israel, whoever needs refuah, should have refuah shlema. Techev Umiyad. Also, I want to dedicate the night to Leilu Nishmat of Moshe Ben Rina. And Yoshua, no. What's his name? Rafael ben Yeshua. And another special request, Bezad Hashem, everybody can answer amen. And if tonight one mitzvah is going to come out of this room, we're going to be for the merit for Chedva Michal, Bat Rachel, Chamisa, and Menachem Israel, Ben Yaakov David, that need a Zera Chaya Vekayama. Bezad Hashem. Hashem should bless them with an abundance of kids. They say in Israel, Eladim Mekir Lekir. Kids from one wall to the other. There's not going to be enough room in the house for kids and should have special nachat from them, should grow them to Torah Chupa Masim Tovim, Tor Briyut Etana, and anyone who needs Zera Chaya V'Kayama, Hashem should bless them with an abundance of Briyut and health and kids and nachat from them. And Hashem should bless Kol Or Klal Am Yisrael, Bekitzur. So we want to talk about something that is bothering many people, is that how to obtain spiritual growth. Because we spoke this afternoon how... We spoke about this afternoon how many, many people, they make a change in their life, they become observant, and they start growing and growing and growing till they reach their first obstacle, the first challenge. And this is one thing. Other than that, many people, they work real hard in their tshuva, whether they were born religious, they became religious, they converted, it doesn't matter. It's all the same path at the end of the day. And many people, they work real hard, they invest their time, they invest their entire soul, their energy, and then they get to a point that they're stuck. And they feel, I can't grow more. I want to grow more. But I have a very busy schedule, I can't learn more Torah. And I have many kids, so I don't have time to make it to the minyan. And all sorts of situations in people's life that it stopped them from becoming much more observant. Now, of course, one aspect of it is you can blame the Yetzer Hara. We all have a Yetzer Hara. He's not happy with the fact that you grow spiritually. So he will become an obstacle for you. He doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He wants you to stay where you are. But that's one thing. I mean, the Yetzer Hara, Baruch Hashem, we spoke about him the last couple classes. We don't want to say Lashon Hara even about the Yetzer Hara, but he's here to help us. The life is not going to change. If I don't have the Yetzer Hara, I'm never going to move out of my place. We spoke about it before, no need to repeat. Don't want to repeat a lot, even though there's many, many new faces. But the Yetzer Hara is what causes me to grow, because the Yetzer Hara is a resistance. And if I want to get into shape and I want to go to a gym, if I'm going to go to the most fanciest gym in the area, and I'm just going to sit like this on the chair, nothing's going to happen. I need to start pushing weights. And the weight is resisting my push. And only when something resists me, then I can start developing my muscle. And I'm just giving an example of a gym. It can be anything. Any type of growth has to come with some type of resistance. If not, there's not going to be any growth. So the Yetzer Hara is placed there to cause this growth, to cause this resistance. So I have to actually appreciate him. Instead of whining all day long that he's annoying me, I have to work together with him. I have to make him part of the system. Regardless, that the teachings of Hasidut explains that we have in our soul, in our body, two souls. We have a godly soul. This is called a Nefesh Elokit. And this godly soul is a piece of the Kadosh Baruch Hu that comes down to my body. And all that it wants to do is only do to mitzvot, only learn Torah, only do acts of charity. It doesn't have any interest in anything else. But at the same time, I was placed with another type of soul that is called a Nefesh HaBeemit, an animal soul. And exactly how it sounds. Not that it's an animal, but it has the character traits of an animal. So an animal, all it cares about is to eat, to sleep, to procreate, and then eat again, and then sleep, and eat, and sleep, and the animal has all sorts of character traits. Some animals are very vicious, some animals are very rough, some animals are very tough. So the animal soul that in me has those character traits. It just wants to sleep and eat and enjoy this world and all the pleasures of this world. And I have a fight between them. Constantly there's a fight. The godly soul is pulling, let's go to class. Let's go to the minyan. The animal says, no, I want to sleep now. What are you bothering me now? Look, there's a good game tonight. Don't bother me now with the shiur Torah. The Yankees are playing now. Or whoever is the Phoenix team. And I'm not, unfortunately, or fortunately, I should say, I don't know the names of the teams. But the reality is that it's constantly a battle between my Nefesh Elokit and my Nefesh HaBeemit. And a lot of people mistaken the Yetzer Hara with my Nefesh HaBeemit. My Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara. He's there to make sure that I have resistance in my Avodat Hashem. That's why he was created. Unfortunately, in our generation, the Yetzer Hara is a little bit out of control. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Zohar a story. And he says that one time there was a king, and he wanted to see how strong his son is, because he's going to be the next king. He wants to see if he is strong in his midot, and he's honest and straight, and he's holy. So he decided to test him. So he hired, the Zohar uses not a nice word, but he hired a woman to go and tempt him. A professional woman to go and tempt him. We're not going to mention the word. And he tells her, you have to go to tempt my son, and I want to see if he's going to be able to stand this challenge. So the king hires her. She's like, the king gave me an order. I have to do what the king told me. But I don't want to make the son of the king fail. Well, now I'm going to get all the heat. I'm going to make him fail. And now I'm going to be the ones to blame here. So she says, you know what? I'm just going to hire a different woman to do it. So she goes and hires a different woman. And she tells her, listen, this is the son of the king. Here's a bunch of money. Go and make him fail. So she says the exact same thing. I don't want to take responsibility. Well, now the son of the king, I'm going to make him sin. I have to make it because the king told me to make it. Which means I can't fake it. I have to do it. It's an order from the king. It's a catch-22. So she was as smart as the first one, so she went and hired another one. And then the third one hired the fourth one, and the fourth one, the fifth one. And by the time it came to the 20th one, she forgot to give the message that it's the son of the king. She just told her the mission. So she came with full force to make sure that the son of the king is going to fail. And this is the Yetzer Hara in our generation. A few generations ago, the Yetzer Hara knew that I am the son of the king. And he has to come to make me fail. In our generation, the Yetzer Hara is in such a low level, he doesn't even know who sent him and who's the target. So the Yetzer Hara in our generation is vicious. There's no discounts here. And the Yetzer Hara comes and attacks everybody in the most vicious way possible. So the Yetzer Hara, that's one thing. Then I have my own Nefesh HaBehemit, that's part of me. The Nefesh HaBehemit is given into me not to fight me, rather than my job is to transform the Nefesh HaBehemit to like the Torah. To convince my Nefesh HaBehemit to take me to shul, to take me to the class, to take me to go and help other people. That's my job. Now all these entities, they're stopping me from growing spiritually. Now in most cases, and I'm mainly talking about people who became Balei Tshuva, or a person who converted and became closer to God, is that in the beginning there's a lot of excitement. And in the excitement, it's like going on a vacation. Now when you go on a vacation, I mean, some people like going and traveling. I hate traveling. It may just tell me, show me a picture of an airplane, I'm going to throw up. But most people, when they go on a vacation, they get all excited. And you know when you get really excited? When you're on the plane. Oh, yeah, I'm landing in the vacation that I saved for so long. And then they start running on the runway, and the plane accelerates and takes power and speed, and then it takes off. And then it takes off for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. It goes up and up and up. And then it reaches to a certain altitude and it levels. And then it glides the whole way. That's kind of equivalent to the process of somebody who becomes closer to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. First, he gets very, very excited. The first time they come to shul, wow, so holy, look at these books, and wow. And every word that comes out of the rabbi's mouth, wow, genius. How did he figure that out? And every little mitzvah, you're like, wow, ooh. But then you start taking off. So you accelerate and you take off and you get excited and you add and you... But then you reach to a point that you reach your altitude and you start gliding. And then life becomes your life. So suddenly you're not so excited to go to the minyan. Suddenly you're not so excited for Shabbat. Once you used to accept Shabbat 3 hours before that, now it's 3 minutes after. And slowly, slowly life becomes, it becomes part of my life. And pitom, you know, I'm not so strong about going to a minyan. Okay, I'll pray at home. So then I'm missing to pray. I'm not murdering anybody. I'm just going to pray at home. And slowly, slowly, not only that it becomes part of my life, I start losing the excitement. And then to start gaining this excitement again is very, very hard. So people become more observant, they reach a certain level, and then chas v'shalom comes a problem. And this is usually the case. We mentioned a few names before. If we would mention all of the names, we would do a lecture just about names. That's how unfortunate it is. Sometimes we go to a lecture, somebody says, can you dedicate this lecture to my father, my son, whatever? They say the first name, and within 3 seconds, I have 500 names. And the whole lecture's names, one after the other. That's unfortunate the situation is. But why am I saying that? Because a person will always have a good run, and then a problem will come. And then they'll go to the rabbi and tell him, Rabbi, what should I do? So the rabbi says, Titchazek, add on some mitzvot. Get more close to the Shem. So he says, yeah, but I'm doing everything. I come to shul, I pray, I do mitzvot, I give charity, I learn. The rabbi tells him it's not enough. There's much more to do. Now yesterday we mentioned that we all get reincarnated. Based on the teachings of the Zohar and the Kabbalah, we're all reincarnated. And the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, has a book that is called Shar HaGilgulim, The Gates of Reincarnation, that he explains that, of course, we all get reincarnated. That's a given. But more than that, a lot of people think that a reincarnation is a punishment. That I did something 500 years ago, and now I come to pay my bill. Which is not so far from the truth. If I did damage something in a previous life, I will get the opportunity to fix it. I wouldn't see it as a punishment. I would see it as a great merit that they're actually giving me the opportunity to fix something I broke. In other places, they'll tell me, okay, no tikkun. So it's actually not a punishment. It's actually a very good thing. But the Arizal explains that we actually come back here in reincarnations because we have to fulfill all 613 mitzvot in thought, speech, and action. These are the three levels that I operate on. So I will come back here as many times as I need in order to complete that. And if chas v'shalom on the way I mess something up, then I will be given the opportunity to fix it. But with that in mind, is first of all, it's important to understand that I came here to complete a certain amount of mitzvot. Now Rizal says in the Shar HaGilgulim that even if I fixed something in a previous life, it doesn't make me exempt in this life. Which means if I have to do 613 mitzvot, and hypothetically, let's say I did 200 of them, or 300, 400 in the previous life, doesn't mean that this life I'm going to be exempt from them. Rather, these mitzvot are just going to be very easy for me. So that's why you see certain people, or every individual, there's some mitzvot that are very easy for them. One individual, it's the easiest thing for him to do Birkat HaMazon. Another person, it's the hardest thing for him to say Birkat HaMazon. Another person, it's the easiest thing for him to put tefillin on. Another person, it's the biggest challenge he has. So that's kind of a hint of what is the things that I need to put more focus on, and the things that are pretty easy for me is that chas v'shalom cannot neglect them, but I can know that for most likely in a previous reincarnation I already kind of polished it up. He explains in Shar HaGilgulim that when I finished and corrected something in a previous life, then when I come back to this world, to this life, then this is not a challenge for me because I already achieved it. It's almost like learning a new software. In the beginning, you don't know anything. You don't know where the buttons are. You don't know how to move things. Everything is familiar. Where's the icons? I don't know the icons. You go look at all the tutorials. It's not familiar to you. Once you use this software for a year, 2 years, you're just with your eyes closed. You know where everything is. You know chick-chack how to use it. So same exact thing. If I did something for 70 years, 200 years ago, and now it's easy for me. I don't need to work so hard on that. So the example that he gives, that you see a person that become a Baal Tshuva, and a Baal Tshuva, don't get me wrong, is a person who's born religious, or to a family that is Shomer Torah and Mitzvot, it can also be a Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is not somebody who born completely secular and decided to change his path. I know many people that were born in a house that is keeping Shabbat and keeping Mitzvot, but they're not so particular. They're not particular about all the mitzvot. They do a little bit here, a little bit there, and then they start picking up. That's also about tshuva. Everybody's about tshuva. The reality actually is, and that's an important definition because a lot of people use the word Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is very high level. Most of us are not Baal Tshuva. most of us are chozer b'tshuva, because the definition of Baal Tshuva and chozer b'tshuva goes by the Hebrew words that chozer b'tshuva, chozer means to return. So it means that I was here, then I made tshuva, and then I did the sin again, so I go back to the sin. And then I did tshuva, so I go back to the tshuva. And then a day later I did the sin again, and then tshuva. And I constantly go back from the sin to the tshuva, so I constantly go back. In Hebrew the word is lachzor, chozer. One day I'm good, one day I'm not good. One day I'm good, one day I'm not good. So I'm in the level of chozer b'tshuva. Baal tshuva is a very high level, because Baal comes from the word in Hebrew Baalim. Baalim is the owner. If I own this home, it's my home. It's not the bank's home. I don't rent it. I own the home, I'm the Baalim, I'm the owner. So a person who conquers Yetzer and he does not do the sin ever again, that's considered a Baal Tshuva. I own the Tshuva. Now in a lot of cases you see that an individual will be in 50% of the mitzvot Chozer B'Tshuva, and 50% is Baal Tshuva. He stopped lying, that's it, he doesn't lie anymore ever again. Or he doesn't steal anymore, but he still has a problem with Lashon Hara and not keeping Shabbat and many other things. So you're not 100% yet. So the definition is very, very important, because a lot of people say, I'm Baal Tshuva. Baal Tshuva is a very high level. It means that you totally conquered your Yetzer Hara and you're not doing it ever again. So technically I might say we're all Chozrim B'Tshuva. Bezrat Hashem, we're going to reach to the level of Baal Tshuva. That's why when the Gemara says, במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, צדיקים גמורים אינם יכולים לעמוד, it's talking about in a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, a complete tzaddik cannot stand there. But it's talking about a Baal Tshuva, it's not saying Chozer B'Tshuva. So we still have a long way to go. But the point to understand is that we are all Chozrim B'Tshuva. Why? Because today I'm good, and next month will come a wave, and I'm failing again. And then I get up, and again I'm good for 2-3 weeks, for 2-3 months, and then I go back again. And I'm back, forth, and back and forth, and I'm up and down and up and down. The problem is that most people, when they come to this storm, it breaks their spirit. And they feel like they're a failure. One time I'm up, then I can't hold it, and I'm down, and then I'm up, and then I'm down. And it breaks people's spirit. And the reality is what it does in most cases is that it causes people to fall into despair. Why despair? Because they said, listen, I'm trying already for 3 years, and I can't seem to get it together. I'm trying. It's not that I'm not trying, but every time I try, I have a good run, and then I fall. And then when I fall, I don't want to do anything. And this is the despair. Amazingly, you see that Rabbi Nachman from Breslev says, "En yeush ba'olam." Now, besides being a very good sticker, I mean, you don't have it here in Arizona. In England, in Israel, all the cars have a sticker. En yeush ba'olam. En yeush ba'olam. What does that mean? There's no such a thing as despair. There's no despair in the world. Now, a lot of people translate it that when I fall, I should, pick myself up by saying, En yeush, I shouldn't fall into despair. The Yetzer Hara is the one who's trying to convince me that there's despair. But really, if you want to look to the depth of it, is that we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with many different forces, many different attributes, has many different names. In the Zohar, in Patach Eliyahu, it's called Sfirot. In some other places, it will call Midot. There's different names to it. But the reality is that Hashem created the world with different powers. Through these powers, He's running the world. So we know there's a power of Chesed, of kindness, a power of Gvura, of severity, a power of Tiferet, many different types of powers, emotions. One thing that He did not create is despair. There's no such a thing. So when Rabbi Nachman comes and says, En yeush ba'olam, it means it wasn't even created. It doesn't even belong. It's not even in our system. Which means the Satan, the Yetzer Hara, will come and create an illusion, like as if there's despair, and I believe him. So he comes and tells me, you are a loser. You tried many times, and you failed, and you are a loser. Don't bother. What are you pretending to be so religious? And he convinces me that I am a loser, and I should not continue. But the reality is, it's just a bubble of nothing. The Zohar calls this world Alma de Shikra, the world of deception, the world of lie. Because everything that we see is a lie. It's not true. It's all fake. And the reality is that beyond this screen, this illusion, there's a different reality. And the Yetzer Hara knows to create different realities. He will create a reality that I'm a failure. He will create a reality that I fall in despair. He will create a reality of depression. It's all the deception of the Yetzer Hara. For one reason, because he does not want you to grow spiritually. That's why he does it. So I try and I struggle very, very hard. I really put my heart into it. I try to wake up every morning. Every morning the rabbi tells me, listen, we need another guy. And I pull myself out of the bed and I stand here and my eyes are like this, 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't even know what I'm doing here. But the rabbi called me. I'm like, I'll come, fine. One eye is closed. The other one is looking over there. And I try hard. And then he calls me again, come for mincha. We're still missing another boy. Another person, in the back of my mind, can't you just rent somebody? Why are you calling me all the time? But the reality is that I try all the time. I really, really try. And then when I don't see results, then I fall back. The reality is that my spiritual growth is not dependent on my success of what I do. It depends on my effort. And the reality is that in life, I will go up and then I go down, and then I go up and then I go down. The going down is a very good thing. The going down is the momentum that I catch in order to grow up, to go up. And if you see the motion of the world is to go up and down. Go now to a hospital or Aleno, you see a person is connected to a monitor, you'll see that the dot goes up, down, up, down, up, down. Why do they invent? Why do the medical technicians invent that the dot goes up and down? Why couldn't they say it will go in circles? But the reality is that it goes up and then it goes down, and that's the motion of this world. And if chas v'shalom, the line becomes straight, then the person is dead. But it has to go up and down and up and down, meaning that my life is going to be constantly with an up and then a down and then up and then down. And that's the motion of this world. And I have to get used to that. This is how the world works. If I want to jump over a big fence, I have to take momentum. I have to run back and catch momentum in order to jump over the fence. Besides the fact that you see that what gives us life, besides the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but what gives us life in this world is one action that we don't attribute much importance to. And it's called breathing. We don't even notice that every 3 seconds we take a breath. And if for 1 minute I don't have access to my breath, then I choke. People don't think that. They don't pay attention to that. They pay attention to it when chas v'shalom they start coughing or when they don't have air. But the reality is that we're dependent on a certain motion of inhaling and then exhaling. Now, 99% of the time I don't concentrate on my breath. I don't notice that I'm inhaling, exhaling, even when I sleep. And if chas v'shalom, 1 minute I don't have air, that's it, story's over. But if you concentrate on this motion, you'll see that I take in, and then I have to take out. I can't take only in. I have to take out. And that motion is hinting to me the operation in this life. In, out, in, out. One time I take, one time I give. One time I take, one time I give. That's how Hashem created the world. That's how Hashem created the system that operates here. And I'm saying Hashem created the world like that because I saw an unbelievable video released by NASA from a satellite. And you see the globe from above. And you see that the earth is breathing. Why? Because you see the currents in the oceans. And you see winds moving forests. So it looks from above like the world is breathing. In, out, in, out. Look at it online. I don't know how it's called. Somebody showed me to that a few months ago. Unbelievable footage from NASA, from Earth. Really, when you're thinking of it, there's waves in the ocean. Now, we don't notice it because we see a few waves, but look from above, you see the whole ocean moves. Now, I don't know how it's called in English, that the ocean comes in and then comes out. Tide? Tide. Tide or tide? Tide. So you see the ocean comes in and then it comes out. Now what happens? Well, the water disappears from the other side. It means when it comes in here, it will go back there. It means it goes there. I mean, you're missing here. You know what I mean? Which means if you look from above, just imagine it, you see the oceans are moving from side to side. That's why people, you know, people think that when we throw things in the ocean, it's not right. But people think that we have control over the cleanliness of the ocean. They don't understand that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is cleaning the ocean all day long. He's just moving it from side to side, and he's cleaning it. Besides that, all that Hashem needs to do is blink, and the ocean is clean. But that's besides the point. But we see that even the motion of the world is constantly moving, in, out, in, out. So when I'm looking at the rhythm of life that is going up and down, or in and out, however you want to call it, but the motion, like a cylinder in a car, in order to move the car, is going in, up, down, up, down. So what I want to take from that is I have to connect it to my life. So in my life, I'm up, and I have a month or two that I'm doing well. And then I have a month or two or three, whatever, that I'm doing not so good. But I constantly go up and down. Now, usually what is going to happen is when I'm down, the Yetzer Hara is going to pull me more down. Because I'm already down. So he has an opportunity to pull me down. He's not going to be able to pull me when I'm going up. Because I'm going with such force, then he doesn't have power to pull me down. He's waiting for me to come down. And the reality is that I'm always going to be pulled down. Don't think that at some point in your life, this is going to change. I know people in their 80s and they tell me, I still have challenges. The challenges don't end because of your age. A lot of people think, okay, maybe when the kids go out of the house, there'll be less challenges. No, then there'll be grandkids. Then the kids become older. Then there's problems. Then everybody's fighting. And there's always going to be challenges. You're not going to get rid of it till the day you die. Unfortunately, that's what pulls everybody to despair, to sadness, to depression, because they're like, I can't handle this. I mean, 60 years, I'm already there. It never ends. It will never end. It's not about to end. It's not designed to end. So what I need to take from that is that to be prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that's my life. When I'm down, for whatever reason, that's when the Yetzer Hara pulls me down. That's where he has the opportunity. He's waiting for me to be a little bit down so he can pull me more down. So it will be hard for me to rise up. But my spiritual growth is not dependent on how many times I will succeed and how many times I will fail. That's another lie that the Yetzer Hara comes. The Yetzer Hara comes to me with a report and he says, wow, you're such a loser. Look how many times you lose. Look how many times I won. How many times I convinced you to fail. And look how many times you actually won. And barely any. So he makes you fail, and then he comes and tells you you're a loser. But really the success or the failure in my Avodat Hashem has nothing to do with me. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be successful, and I'm talking only about my service to God right now, I'm not talking about my business, I'm not talking about my relationships, I'm not talking about anything else but my personal growth. So if Hashem wants me to be successful, He's going to let the Yetzer Hara a little bit less. Suddenly I'm successful. Suddenly I'm like learning all day long, praying, no problem. It's not because of me. It's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to the Yetzer Hara, you know, He dims the Yetzer Hara, like the volume of the Yetzer Hara. He says, okay, this month don't go full force. And then if Chas V'Shalom, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to not have such much success, he will say the Yetzer Hara, okay, Allah, full force, get into him. Squash him. Her, him, same thing. And then suddenly I have a hard time. And the reason is that because it doesn't matter if I succeed or not. What matters is the effort that I put in it. That's what matters. The success or the failure is attributed to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what attributes to me is how much effort I put into it. That's what's measured. Not if I was able to overpower my Yetzer Hara, is if I was persistent with my effort. And I did not let it break my spirit, and my effort was to push and to push and to push. This life is like a stress test. I don't know if anybody of you ever did a stress test. They put you on a treadmill, and then they hook you up with all sorts of, I don't know how you call it in English, you know, these wires, electrodes, and then they make the treadmill go slow. So you're like walking there, You're like, you're cool, because it's very slow. And then they're like, okay, they let you walk for 10 minutes, they see you're doing pretty well, and then they're like, we're going to step it up a little bit. And then the technician, and whoa, what's happening here? And it starts going a little bit faster. And you're like, okay, you get used to the pace, then you go back to... And then the technician says, listen, I'm going to make it up a little bit more, just... And she presses high volume, and suddenly you're like, whoa, what's going on here? And you start running, and that's when you start running out of breath. So they lower it, and then they put it higher, and lower it, and they want to see how you're handling the stress. Now, is it has anything to do to you if your heart is running good or not? No, it has to do with the heart. It has nothing to do with you. But the effort that you put in it, that's yours. So Hashem puts you on a treadmill and he says, okay, sometimes I'm going to make it run fast, sometimes I'm going to make it run slow. I don't care right now if you succeed or not. That's not the point. The point, I want to see how much effort. You put a lot of effort into your avodat Hashem, into your service of God. That's what will attribute to the spiritual growth. Now, of course, this is not black and white. There's many other things. It's not that I just need to concentrate on my effort. There's many, many other things. I mean, the right way to really have a very good natural spiritual growth is I have to have a personal trainer. If I want to go now and become a very good athlete, I must have a personal trainer. I can have unbelievable talents, but without the personal trainer taking me to the next level, I'm not going to do it. I can guarantee to you that Mike Tyson was naturally a very strong man. And naturally that his punch is a very small, strong punch. But then comes the personal trainer and teaches him his moves and his tactics and trains him. Half of the success goes to the trainer. And I'm just giving one example out of many. Any athlete, any musician, any singer, anything that you want to do good, you need a personal trainer. Even in business, you need a mentor. Almost in anything in this world, doesn't matter how good your talent is, you'll be much better when you have a personal trainer, a mentor, doesn't matter how you call it right now. I'm using the word personal trainer. You attribute it to whatever you want. But the point is that somebody pulling me. Because if I don't have that I can't go more out of my way. Look at the athletes, how they train. I can guarantee to you that when Mike Tyson goes to train, his personal trainer doesn't tell him, okay, do 10 push-ups and here's a Twinkie. He takes him to his limits. More, more, more! Screams at him, beats him up. You can do more. Like Rocky. Rocky Balboa. No pain. So, you need a personal trainer. Because if I count on my own motion, nothing much is going to happen because I, by default, I'm lazy. I'm bribing myself. If I'm going to go now to work out, I will convince myself that after 2 minutes I had enough. I was good. I did 2 laps. That's it. Go out. There's a good cup of coffee and a cake waiting in the cafeteria. But if I really want to work out, I need to take a personal trainer. In anything, I'm just giving one example now with sports, but anything that I want to grow, I need somebody pulling me. Our sages say, "En asur matir atzmo mibet asurim." A prisoner cannot let himself out of his own cage, his own cell. Somebody needs to take him out. So I'm like a prisoner. I'm bribed. I cannot get myself. Very few people are so self-motivated that they're able to make themselves do something. And there's very little people. And even if they're very highly motivated, then they might not have the right guidance. And sometimes I will focus all my focus here, and I don't need to focus it here. I have to focus it over here. And that's usually the case, that I'm very disoriented, I'm not so motivated, and I'm a little bit lost in this world. And unfortunately, most people, they don't have a right guide, so their focus and their energy goes to the wrong direction. There's a story once with a famous righteous man, a Hasid, is called Levi Yitzchak from Bardichev, who was known to be a very unbelievable individual. And one time he sees one of his students running like a maniac. He tells him, whoa, where are you running? He's like, no, I'm running to my parnasah, my job. So he tells him, you're running in the wrong direction. Your parnasah is over there. And that's the reality, that this is one thing out of many, but we run sometimes to a certain direction, and we're so focused on this direction, and it's the wrong direction. If you would have the right guide, he will tell you, where are you running? You have to go there. Why are you working now on this department? You have to concentrate on this department. So it's extremely important that in order to gain very high spiritual growth, I have to have a mentor. The Torah tells us, "Vaseh lecha rav," you have to appoint yourself a rabbi, and the rabbi is going to guide you. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily a rabbi. If it's a woman, she can find a rebbetzin or a very spiritual woman. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a rabbi with three ordinations from different places. It can be a very strong-minded man that can be a good guide. So some places, some congregations will call him a rabbi, another congregation will call him a madrich, another congregation will call him a mashpia. It doesn't matter the title. The point is somebody that I can go to that can guide me. Because I cannot see how I look. You know that one time I gave a lecture, and I ate before the lecture. Believe it or not, I eat sometimes. Some people think that I run on air, but I eat sometimes. So we ate before the lecture. And you know what happened? Something very embarrassing throughout the lecture. I had a crumb here. And nobody wanted to say anything. At some point, somebody came and told me, "Psst, you have a crumb in your beard." So I can't see this. I don't even look at myself. Can you imagine how embarrassing it is? Me walking with a crumb here? I mean, it's not embarrassing. I don't get embarrassed. But just like the concept. We don't see ourselves. Even if I look in the mirror, I don't see myself. If I look in the mirror, I see perfection. I look at the mirror and I'm like, wow. How did he do it? How did Hashem do such... If I had the ability, I would walk in the street and tell people, please, if you want to take a picture, don't wait till I tell you. That's the reality, that we really look in the mirror and we're like... But the reality is that if somebody would stand on the other side of the mirror, it'd be like, what are you talking about? So I need somebody to point out where I'm doing wrong. So, unfortunately, we have an ego in the size of a semi-trailer. So even if somebody will dare to come and tell me something, no. I'm right, you're wrong. Please, don't tell me. But really, if I want to grow spiritually, I need somebody to come and tell me, listen, you're doing very wrong here. You're putting too much effort there. You're concentrating on something that is not beneficial for you. Do more of this. Do more of that. And if I really want to take something out of it, I have to be very humble. I have to find somebody that I look up to, and I say, wow, if this individual told me that, it must be that it's true, and I work on it. And I work on it in what's called Kabbalah Tol, and accepting the yoke. You know, and most people don't like it. I have a lot of people that tell me, maybe you can be my rabbi. I tell them, okay, fine. And then after 2 or 3 months, they're like, you're fired. You're fired. You never even hired me. No, you're fired. I don't want you as a rabbi anymore. Why? You keep putting me down. What do you want me to do? Want me to tell you how great you are? I want to come and tell you where you're not great. What do you mean you fire me? You didn't even pay me. Of course, I'm joking, but the point is that a lot of my students, they come and tell me, I don't like you as a rabbi. Because you only tell me how bad I am. What do you want me to tell you? I want to show you where you're wrong. So if you're coming to this session with an ego, you're not going to take anything. How dare he tell me that I'm late to the minyan? Does he know what I went through? You know how much traffic was? The coffee took more, 10 more minutes. There was a line in Starbucks. That's why I'm late to the minyan. He has the chutzpah to tell me I'm late to the minyan. You know how much effort I put into standing to this line? So that's mostly the attitude of most people, that they can't take the criticism. But if I want to grow spiritually, first of all, I need to have a mentor that comes and tells me my faults and tells me, listen, you're not so great here. Stop being mean to your wife. Smile a little bit here. Learn more Torah. Don't pretend you're so busy. And because we're not self-motivated. And even if I am self-motivated and I'm able to control myself, then I don't have the right guide. I'm motivated, but I don't know which direction to go. You know, there was once not that I see movies, but I saw an article and it caught my attention. It was in a religious place, and they brought an example from a movie that is called Alice in Wonderland. I don't know if you ever saw it. I never saw it, but I'm just quoting a movie I didn't see, but that's not the point. It says that in this movie, there's a girl, her name is Alice, and she has a few imaginary friends. I don't know, maybe a bunny or something. I don't remember all the details. It's not important. But she walks around, and she walks in Wonderland, and she has a few characters with her, and then she reads a crossroad, a T-section, and she doesn't know if to go right or if to go left. And then comes another character and tells her, what's going on? Why, you look pretty confused. So she says, I don't know where to go. I don't know if to turn right. I don't know if to turn left. So he tells her, but where are you heading? She says, I don't know. I don't know where I'm heading. So he tells her, so what's the difference if you turn right or left? If you don't have a destination, what does it matter where you turn? So if I don't have a destination, it really doesn't matter where I turn. And I know my destination because somebody teaches me my destination. I know I want to be close to God. But if I don't have a destination, then I don't know if to turn right, to turn left. Most questions that I get is people come and tell me, I want to open a business. Do you think it's a good business? I want to get married. Do you think that's a good shidduch? I want to move to a different city. Do you think it's a good idea? Because people, they need some guide. One point is that they need a guide is because people are not refined enough to have clarity. Most people, they don't have clarity. Their GPS is an old version that doesn't have all the maps. So they don't have real good clarity. And that happens because the people don't refine themselves in a spiritual level. So nothing makes sense. So they're looking for clarity. But the reality is we are looking for some type of guidance. So first of all, I have to refine myself spiritually, because when I refine myself spiritually, then my neshama sees very clear where I have to go. But I need to use a guide. I need to have somebody that tells me, you're putting the energy in the wrong direction. You're putting too much over here, put some energy over here. Learn more of this, learn more of that. Come more to Shabbat, come more to classes. So that's a very important thing. And it's extremely important that you find a guide that is around you. You can't find a guide on the other side of the world. If you Skype with him once a week. Or once a week is good. Once a month. You need somebody local that sees you every day in the shul, sees your expressions, sees your face, how determined you are, how focused you are. You come to shul, you don't come to shul, you come to all the classes, you help after the meal. You're the one who runs out, or the ones who help move the tables back to their place. You need somebody to look at you and to evaluate you and to give you some type of an evaluation and tell you, you have to do more of this, you have to do more of that. Learn with that guy, listen to this guy. So this is the first thing one has to do, and you have to find somebody that really motivates you. Because in most cases, we're lazy and we'll give ourselves discounts. In most cases, in my Avodat Hashem, I will constantly give myself discounts. It's okay, you don't have to go to class. You went to a class 3 months ago. Why are you so frum? Are you so charedi? You're going for 2 classes in a year. So I usually will give myself a lot of discounts. And we read interestingly last week in Parashat HaShavua about a certain mitzvah that it says that we're not allowed to take bribery. Lo tikach shochad. Now, who is this mitzvah going for? It's going for a judge. I mean, a judge can take bribery. Now, how many judges are we? How many judges are here? 0, right? Once in 100,000, you have a judge.
We all judges.
Very good. So the mitzvah goes on a judge, on a dayan. But if it says in the Torah not to take bribery, means that it has to do with me. And what is the judge? Exactly like you said, we're all judges. But we know that we have 2 entities in our system. We have an intellect, a mochin, where my mind understands things. And then I have my heart, where all my attributes are, and my character trait. Now my mind understands what's good and what's not good. It knows. It knows it's not good to cheat or to steal. I'm in the middle of a business deal, comes in a customer. I know, even though it's the easiest thing right now to cheat him, I know it's not good. I know it's not the will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I know that Hashem doesn't want me to steal right now, or to curse, or to say Lashon Hara. I know, I understand that. But the information here doesn't penetrate so easily in here. It takes a long time till it comes down from my intellect into my body. Why? Because my emotions don't like the situation. So my emotions will bribe my intellect. And that's why the Torah comes and tells me, "Lo tikach shochad," don't take bribery. Because my heart, my emotions will come and tell me, it's okay, you can steal from him. He's a thief too. Isn't there a saying, "Ganev mi ganav patur," stealing from a thief is okay? So my emotions say, it's okay, you can say Lashon Hara about that person. She talks bad about you all day long. So my emotions will constantly bribe my intellect that I should do what I want to do. My intellect says, I don't want to do that. No, 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 it's okay. It's okay, today it's okay. I'm giving you questions at the end if you don't mind. I'm giving you today a discount. So when the Torah comes and tells me, don't take bribery, is my intellect. You're right, we have 7 gates to our body. I have 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils and a mouth. These are the gates of my body. Kadosh Baruch Hu for some reason decided to give us 2 of each and 1 mouth. He was very smart. He's like, if I'm going to give them 2 mouths, oy va voy, what's going to be there? Shem Yerachem if I give them 2 mouths. How much Lashon Hara and cursing and cheating and lying is going to be there? So he says, okay, I'm going to shrink it to 1. Baruch Hashem. In some cases, it's a shame we didn't give us 1 eye. We had but the point is that I have 7 gates to my body. There's a parasha in the Torah that is called Shoftim, judges. And it says that I should appoint judges to all my gates. And really, I have to appoint judges to my gates. I have to appoint a judge to my eyes, a judge to my ear, a judge to my nose, a judge to my mouth, that will judge. Should I say that? Should I not? Should I look there? Should I not? Should I listen to this or not? So when the Torah comes and tells me, don't take a bribery, then it's talking about that I'm very easily bribed. I can have a 2-foot-long beard, and in 1 second I'll be bribed to do something. Because my heart is much more powerful. Unless I'm able to overpower it and make my mind smarter than my heart. This is called Moach Shalit El Alev, that my mind controls my heart. But till I get to this level, then I'm very easily bribed. So I'll try to do my Avodat Hashem. I would listen to the advice that the rabbi told me I have to learn Torah. I will come, put the book on the table, open the book, read 2 lines. Okay, I'm very smart today. I had enough. What? 2 minutes. No, 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 no. 2 halachot. That's it. I can now be Maran of Andrew Yosef. So the reality is that we constantly bribe ourselves, so we need somebody to come and break that barrier and says, no, you come with me, you do this, you do that. So one component that is extremely important is I must have a personal trainer. But I must also take into consideration that my success is not measured if I was able to climb over the mountain or not. Is it if I put effort? How much effort I put, and if I was strong in my effort, and I did not let the failure affect me. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to manipulate sometimes situations that I will fail to see if I'm going to be like, no, it's okay, next time I'll be stronger. Nothing happened. Or, Chas v'Shalom, oh, I'm a failure, that's it, I'm not coming to synagogue anymore. So what is measured is my effort. So when I'm looking at the journey of I want to reach my spiritual growth, I have to be very, very organized. If I want to be very successful in my business, I have to have a business plan. And if I want to be successful in anything that I do, it has to be a plan. You cannot just come and say, okay, whatever, you know, whatever is going to happen, we'll figure it out. If I'm going on a vacation, I'm going on a trip, I have to plan my trip. Where am I landing? Where am I sleeping? Where am I eating? People try and plan trips a year in advance. Very few people, they come with their backpack, they land, okay, where's the place to stay? We get phone calls like that. Baruch Hashem, we have a big center in Tzfat. We have visitors, come. I just landed, do you have a place to eat? Like you didn't plan ahead? No. Where are you planning on sleeping? Wherever. So some people are like that, but the reality is that you want success, you have to have a plan. And sometimes you need a help of a good engineer or an architect to create your plan. And saying you cannot do so much right now. Concentrate on this, this, and this. Yeah, but I want to be very religious. Doesn't matter. You have to concentrate on this, this, and this. You take too much, you're going to fall. You're going to take too many things on you, you're going to crash. So I have to have a very good plan. How am I coming to this battle? And if I don't have a plan, it's going to be too much of a mess. This guy is going to tell me this one. This guy is going to tell me that. That guy is going to tell me this. Suddenly I start getting confused. He said something. They don't get along. And then I go into this whole turbulence of problems in my mind because I don't know what to grab on. So I want to make sure that I have a very good plan to lay out and say, okay, that's how I'm going to my spiritual growth. And I have to have a very positive perspective that in my growth is going to be constantly going up and going down and going up and going down. Now, another extremely powerful component, and what I'm saying now is not, I mean, we really can't cover such a topic in 45 minutes to an hour. To really know how to grow spiritually, I need to really take it seriously. And I have to take it seriously because we're talking here about my eternity. I'm not talking here about a vacation or a business transaction. I'm talking about my eternity. There's no time to mess here. I have 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, whatever the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to give me. I have to squeeze it all in. You know, and many times we're so lazy, we say, I'll do it when I'm done. I'm going to do it later, after the winter. After the winter, when the kids go out of the home in 20 years. And in Avodat Hashem, you can push it. The Mishnah says, "Al tomar she'eshne k'she'efne, shema lo tifne." Don't say I'm going to learn when I get to the point where I have time to learn, because you might not get to that point. But to translate it to our language, don't say I'm going to do something when I have time, because you might never have time. You do it now. And the reality is that I have to take my spiritual growth seriously, because that's my investment for my eternity. And I don't know where I'm out. I mean, I don't have an expiration date. If I would know when I'm leaving this world, I would say, okay, I have another 20 years. But what if I have only another year here? I don't know. I mean, I'm being realistic. I know people don't like hearing it, but I'm being realistic. Some people wake up in the morning, they go out of their house, car accident, and lights out. So, again, I don't need to live in fear that maybe tomorrow I'm going, but I need to cherish my time and understand, wait a minute. Every second that I'm in this world, I have to achieve something. I mentioned in a few of my classes that there are five levels to our soul. Starting from the highest level of our soul is called Yechida. Yechida comes from the word in Hebrew, Yichud, not Yachid. A lot of people translate it as Yachid. Yachid is the only one. Only Hashem is Yachid. But this comes from the word yichud. If you see in Orthodox weddings, when the husband and wife, after the chuppah, they go into the yichud room to get united, to become one, to become one. This piece of the soul is called yechida because it's one with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a piece. It's what's called chelek eloka, a piece of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like take a piece of cherna and you carve a piece of wood out of it. So this is the piece of my neshama. But this is such a high spiritual level that we don't really interact with it. Most cases ever. Now there's another level that is beneath it that is called Chaya. In some Kabbalistic books, it's called Tzelem. It's referred to as a Tzelem. As we read in Sefer Bereshit, "V'tzelem Elokim nivra Adam." In the image of God, man was created. This is what a lot of people call aura, a surrounding light, energy that does not penetrate into the body, it's around the body. And then it has another three levels that is called Neshama, Ruach Nefesh. This is the order. In English, it's very hard to translate because there's no words for that. Some people say Neshama is a soul. Some people say Nefesh is a soul. So the words in English, they don't work so well. These three parts are in my body, the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, but the Chaya and the Yechida, they're not in my body. They cannot penetrate even in the body. The Yechida never even comes into this world. And the Tzelem, the Chaya, is kind of surrounding me. But why is that important to know? Because the teachings of Kabbalah explains that in the level of Chaya, that is called Tzelem, there are thousands of godly sparks in it. Or we can talk in our terminology, pixels. Imagine like a big picture that has a million pixels. If you're looking at the picture, you don't see the pixels. You see the picture. Now start enlarging the picture on a computer screen, you're going to start seeing all the dots that create the picture. So the same way this piece of the neshama that is called chaya holds in it thousands of pieces, like a puzzle. Each piece is for one day that I'm alive. Which means that if I died, chas v'shalom, and I'm 80, then take 80 times 365, add the leap year, how many times? That's the amount of pieces that I have in this piece of my soul. You'll probably come to 50,000, 60,000. I'm not that quick with math. But that's the amount of sparks that I have in my tzelem. And if I refined today what I'm supposed to do, then when I go to sleep, I take this piece and I take it up to its place and I place it back in it like a puzzle. And the next day, I refine another piece and I take it up and I put it in the puzzle. That's the main reason why we go to sleep. Because technically, there are many other ways that people can go without sleep. People don't know how to do it, but that's why you see tzaddikim, they don't go to sleep. They don't need to sleep. The neshama gets replenished in many other ways. But we go to sleep because that's the time that I take all these sparks that I refined and I take it up to its source and I place it where it belongs. Now what happens if today I didn't do what I'm supposed to do? Then it's like AT&T. It rolls over to the next day. And then it rolls over to the next day and rolls over to the next day. So it happens to be that when I'm 40, I have a bucket full of work to do. And that's why a lot of the times my service of God, my avodat Hashem, is hard. Because I'm already, it's like a semi-trailer that can take 20 ton. If you put 20 ton, it will go very slow. Put 20 kilos, it will go fast. And if you go overweight, not only that it will be hard for it to pull, it would lose control. So when I neglect my avodat Hashem, I'm carrying with me a lot of baggage, so to say. So I have to every day refine one piece, one element of my soul, and then elevate it to its source. Now why am I saying all that? Because I have to understand that every day in my life is a very valuable day. If I did not do what I'm supposed to do today, it means that tomorrow I'll have double to do. And the next day, triple to do. So my avodat Hashem has to be very, very calculated. And I have to understand it's not about how successful I am. It's about the effort. You have to remember something from tonight is not how many times I was able to put tefillin on. It's how many times I fought to put the tefillin on. And maybe some men, it's for them the easiest thing to put tefillin on. I know men that it's the hardest thing for them to put tefillin on. 10 o'clock in the morning, okay, I'll do it in an hour. 11 o'clock, okay, now it's busy, I'll do it in an hour. 12 o'clock, okay, it's lunch, I'll do it at 1. 5 minutes before shkia, and another day passed. But that's the reality. And I'm not saying in chas v'shalom to hurt anybody's feelings. The person that has this problem with the tefillin, he can do charity like that, which another person that puts tefillin at 6 o'clock in the morning cannot even give you a quarter. So everybody has their challenges. It's not that one is better than the other. This life, these are my challenges. And this is very easy for me to do, and this is very hard for me to do. So it's not about my success. It's not many times I put V on my chart. It's the effort. Hashem is looking at the effort. But besides that, one of the most powerful components in my spiritual growth, and I mentioned it's extremely important that I focus on my spiritual growth because I have a certain amount of time in this life. I cannot say, okay, I'll do tshuva when I'm 80. You know how many people come and tell me, no, it's not convenient to keep Shabbat? When they have kids and they come to me, in 20 years of course, to Shabbat, then I'll buy a nice table and a nice tablecloth and then I'll do Shabbat. Who says you're going to have kids and who says you're going to live another 20 years? So, chas v'shalom, I'm not wishing anybody something like that, but I'm just saying, you cannot wait for something to happen. You have to do it right now. There's no time. So my spiritual growth has to do with my eternity. It's nothing to do with this world. And when it's going to come the day that they're going to open the books, they're not going to tell me how many times I was successful. They're going to look at the raft of effort. Like a stress test. They want to see how much effort went into it. When my kids come home from school with an amazing report, then I'm very happy. But I'm also very happy when they come with not such a great report, but I know that they put a lot of effort. And one of my kids is not the brightest, but he puts a lot of effort. And he came not too long ago with it's not a straight A. There wasn't the grades were not so wow. But I was more excited from his report card from any other of the kids because I know how much effort he put. I know how much he tried, how much he learned, and how hard it is for him to wake up early, to go and catch the bus, to sit there and to listen and to get a B instead of a C. I value the effort. I don't get impressed by the A. I get impressed by the sweat. That's my spiritual growth. Don't measure your spiritual level by how you look. People look at me and say, "Ooh." It's not "ooh." I'll give you my Yetzirah any day. Kiwan will trade. My Yetzirah is like a commando Yetzirah. He's like a black belt ninja. If you want, I'll switch with you any day. I'll give you my Yetzirah. So people think they see this and they're like, "Ooh." It's not "ooh." You know, the Gemara says, "Kechol shekochol gover, kach yitzro gover." The more that you grow up in your spiritual level, your Yetzer Hara grows with you. So what do you think? They're going to put you in a ring with a lightweight? You grow up spiritually, your Yetzer Hara is a 5-degree Dan in karate. He knows how to... This is not a simple Yetzer Hara. So my success is measured with my efforts and my fight. How did Rocky say? No pain, no gain? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have pain. So I want to concentrate on my spiritual growth, and I can never be satisfied with where I am. I have to constantly look more up and more up. David HaMelech says, "Mi ya'aleh be'har Hashem?" Who's going to climb the mountain of Hashem? Getting close to Hashem is climbing a mountain. It's more and higher and higher. Now, Bemet, this is literally just the tip of the iceberg of what I need to do to start applying to my avodat Hashem. But I want to start doing that. I want to make sure that I have a mentor. I want to make sure that I'm focused on my job, I'm calling it a job, but my efforts, that I know that I'm not counting success stories here. I'm counting sweat. But one element that allows me to grow spiritually a lot, that's how I started the lecture, and I told you that the motion of life is inhaling, exhaling, in, out, like a cylinder. Because sometimes I put a lot of effort out, sometimes I take a lot of effort in. One of the most important things for my spiritual growth is that I don't focus on myself, is that I focus on somebody else. Sometimes I take in, psychologically we think that the important motion is the inhaling, right? Because, I'm inhaling. One can argue and say it's more important to exhale because you're holding all the carbon monoxide in your body. Exhale. So yes, some of the times the motion is to take in, I have to take on me. But sometimes I have to also affect somebody else. And I find that the greatest spiritual growth comes when I'm worried about somebody else's spiritual growth. And that's why I mentioned before when we started the lecture, the amazing the mitzvah is that a certain individual take out of his time, out of his money, out of his house, out of his effort, to make sure that 150 people will spiritually benefit from a speaker to come and talk. Hours of preparations, hours of emails and texts, backwards and forth, and negotiating, calling this show and calling that show, and this can do it at 7, this can do it at 4. This is a simple individual that takes out of his private time that he could have sat now and I don't know, watch a movie or whatever. Not that I'm promoting movies, but I'm saying that's the reality. And that individual says, no, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure somebody else benefits a spiritual growth. I can guarantee to you that that individual, that's where he gains his spiritual growth. Because he cares about somebody else. He's exhaling, not inhaling. I need to inhale every one time in, one time out. But I'm not going to grow if I don't care about other people. And caring into other people's spiritual growth, first of all, our Holy Torah says, if you know to say Aleph Bet, then you can teach somebody that doesn't know Aleph. Because most people says, me? I can affect another person. Yeah, but if you know how to say Aleph, Bet, Gimel, you know three halachot, you can teach it that somebody doesn't know nothing. That's first of all. Second of all, if I can't do it myself, then I bring somebody to do it. I organize a lecture. Or I take CDs and I give them out to people. I worry about other people's spiritual state. If I put tefillin on every day, so I'll try to affect my neighbor. Come and put tefillin. No, I don't want to. Come and put tefillin. What do you care? 5 minutes. I go out of my way to find somebody that has a spiritual challenge and I tell him, come, here. Here's the candle. You don't have to go till the store. Here, you light the candles. Here's the bracha. When I worry about somebody else's spiritual growth, by default, I carry myself up. Why? Because Hashem likes when I go out of my way to help somebody else. That's what's impressing the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He likes when I worry about another person's well-being. Spiritually, physically, emotionally. That I take out of my time to sit with a certain individual and answer his question. I really don't feel like it. He comes to me in the street. How many times people come to you in the middle of the day, in the middle of the street? Hey, excuse me. Somebody knocks on your door. Oh, that guy again. See?
You arranged that, Rabbi, right?
That's my props.
That was good.
That's one of my props.
You couldn't do it again.
Don't test me. How many times your phone rings and you're looking at the caller ID? Oh, I can't stand her. Now the phones are not ringing because we told you all to put it on silence. But the reality is that people come to me all day long and they tell me I need some type of help. And I usually turn the other way because it's not convenient right now. That's the reality. And spiritual growth is not me necessarily coming and putting tefillin on somebody. Sometimes just listening to somebody for 10 minutes, I gain a lot of growth out of that. And there's a beautiful story in the Torah about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was a very special man. And we're not going to go through the entire story. It should be fresh in your mind. We read it a few weeks ago. But at some point in his life, he was in jail. He was a good boy. Then his brothers throw him in a pit, sell him to a convoy of Arabs, sell him to Potiphar, throw him into jail. He went through hell. And he finds himself in jail for 12 years. Can you imagine being in jail for 12 years? Now, this is not jail here in America when you have internet and mattresses. This is a dungeon. It's under the ground. But Yosef HaTzadik was the ruler of the jail. He was kind of, you know, the head of the jail.
Warden.
No, he wasn't a warden, but they gave him all the responsibility. He was like, in everywhere he went, he was successful. Excuse me?
Like a manager.
Jails don't have managers. But doesn't matter. He was in charge. Now, the story says that at some point he went out of jail after 12 years. Now, really, what was the merit that took him out of jail? The merit that took him out of jail is that God made a miracle. But any miracle has to be dressed into nature. So what is the miracle, what was the action in nature that took him out of jail? That 2 years before he went out of jail, there were two individuals, the minister of the bakery and the minister of beverages, that had a dream. He solved their dream. 2 years later, Paro has a dream, and they tell him there's a Jewish boy in jail, get him out, he knows how to solve dreams. That was his ticket out, right? Now, the story says that when these two individuals woke up in the morning, they had a very scary dream. They woke up with a frowning face. And the story says that Yosef HaTzadik tells them, what's wrong with your mood today? Meaning, first of all, he saw their mood every day. More than that, he cared about their mood of two individuals that he doesn't even know. And he's the boss of the jail. He went out of his way. He saw a person with a sad face to go out of his way and tell him, what's wrong with you today? I see you every day. Every day you're with a smile. Today you're upset. So he initiated a conversation that draw them to start telling him the dream. 2 years later, he goes out of jail as a result. And again, the miracle is because Hashem took him out. But it has to be dressed in nature. And what took him out of jail is the fact that he cared about another individual without even knowing him, and I don't owe him anything. I'm the boss of the jail. I don't care if you're sad or happy. And usually, my salvation, my answer to my problem is going to come in that annoying knock. It's going to come for the person is the most annoying. He's going to be the key to my salvation. And that's how Hashem tests me. He sends me a very annoying person that I will ignore the phone. I will not answer the door. I will turn my head around. Needless to say, that person is most likely holding the key to the problem that I have. I'll give you one example out of many. That not too long ago, my back went out on me. I could not move. I could literally not get out of bed. I barely moved. Unbelievable pain. And my secretary calls me and she tells me, listen, there's a certain couple, they want to see you. They came all the way from America. They need your help. And I tell them, listen, I barely move. I can't see them. Scheduled for next week. No, they're only one day in Tzfat. And I'm like, how am I going to get out of bed? I can barely move. And I'm in excruciating pain. But I decided, and she tells me, listen, they're asking and they want to see you. And so I was like, okay, if they need my help, I'll go. And it was extremely easy to just say, I'm in pain, I cannot. I go out of my way, I limp to there. I can barely move, pain. They're sitting and talking with me for half an hour, 45 minutes. They ask me my questions, I give them my opinion. Comes the end of the meeting, I'm about to get up. I'm like, I can't get up. I'm like this. And I'm telling them, I'm very sorry, I cannot get up to escort you out. I have very strong back pains. So she tells me, get up. Lie down, I'm a chiropractor.
Oh my gosh.
Lie down, let me see what I can do. She calls her husband. I told her, call the husband. I mean, she starts pulling my leg, moving my head, all sorts of noises, pulling my leg from here, stretching my hand like that. Don't worry, it's okay. I know what I told her, are you sure you know what you're doing? She's like, yeah, don't worry. After 15 minutes of twisting my body, I get up from the bed. Wow, I can walk. I couldn't believe it. I go home, I tell my wife, look, I can walk. She was like, "How? What happened?" I told her, "I this woman's a chiropractor. She twisted me like a bagel, but look, I can walk." It just goes to show you that I could easily say, I cannot see her, I'm in pain. I didn't even know, it wasn't my intention. My intention was to help her. Or him, both of them. The Hashgacha Pratit was that I could be in bed for another 2 weeks in pain. And all it took is me to go out of my way to help another person. There was no reward here. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, she's the key for your pain. I'm bringing the chiropractor to you. And that's usually what happens. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm bringing your solution to you, you schmuck. Answer the door. And that's the reality. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, here's the solution. Pick up the phone. And I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to that person. It's annoying. So I need to learn from my father, Yosef HaTzadik, that he took out of his time to care about somebody else's needs. And that was his ticket out. And that's the same thing with me. I struggle with my spiritual growth. Constantly. I'm not happy with my situation. I don't like it that I have a yetzer hara. I don't like it that when I go to the class, I'm like that. You know, I'm doing a very good job. I have a talent of putting everybody to sleep. It's not that I'm boring. It's just I have a very good talent to put people to sleep. Sometimes, you know, as soon as they come home, their wife tells them, Noah, how was your class? Amazing. What did you learn? I don't know, he was talking about the weekly parsha. Yeah, but you told me he's going to a halacha class. What did he teach you, the rabbi? You know, I don't know, he was speaking real fast. I didn't catch what she's saying. The reality is a lot of people come to the class and they're like, yeah. So some people, yeah. Somebody once asked me, don't you get offended that people fall asleep in your class?
No, but then neshama hears you.
First of all, you're right, the neshama hears. But I'll tell you what happens in the spiritual level, so people are not going to feel so bad. If I'm going to take now 100 pounds and give it to a three-year-old kid, the 100 pounds will bury him in the ground. He cannot carry it. Sometimes the neshama cannot carry much light. And you come to a Shiur Torah, the message that is delivered is way more than your neshama can handle. So the system collapses. It's not because the person is tired. And I know people who work all day long, and when they come to the Torah class, they're sharp. Not that I'm not saying anything bad about anybody. I'm just all fun. We want to make it light. We don't want to go out of here with a headache. The reality is that sometimes the neshama cannot hold the capacity, it goes down. Regardless that I have a very good talent in putting people to sleep. My wife wants to tries to put the kids to sleep. She reads them the stories for 2 hours. I just go in, 2 minutes, all. She's like, you put them to sleep. It's the express version of the putting the kids to sleep. So the point is that I get to situations that I'm not happy with my spiritual growth because I come to a class and I don't understand one word. I get inspired, the next day, all the air, all the excitement goes out. So we constantly run into these challenges that I'm not happy with my spiritual growth. A month ago, I was excited to come to the minyan. Now I don't feel like it. 2 months ago, I was excited to make challah. Now I don't feel like it. So I need to constantly focus on my spiritual growth, but I need to mainly focus on the fact that it's not about my success. There's constantly going to be up and down and up and down and up and down. It's totally natural. I just need to, how long? For the rest of your life. All your life is going to be challenges. Till the day you leave this world. The day you leave this world is when you sign the end and you say goodbye, thank you so much, and that's it, I completed my task. Till the last breath you take, that's the last challenge you have. The point I want to take from tonight is when you walk out of this door is that life is full of challenges and my spiritual growth is not depending on the challenges. My spiritual growth is my path. I need to design the path. I need to make sure that I have a good plan before I go out on my path. I need to have a good mentor. I have to have a good mind frame to understand that I'm going to go up and I'm going to go down and I'm going to have success stories, I'm going to have bad stories. But my spiritual growth is important to design my eternity. And one of the most important things, and Bemet, what I said today is it's a small part of that concept. But try to at least take from tonight, and not for nothing, I started the lecture by telling thanks to the family who organized everything, because that's where you have to take example. Where can I worry about somebody else's spiritual level? And when Hashem sees you go out of your way to care about somebody else's benefit, then by default He's already rising you up to a higher level. Because to give something out of myself is very hard. It's very easy to take for myself. It's very hard to give out. When I give out, and Hashem sees that, it's like a video game. You know, in the video games, you do a certain act and you get like a point. But sometimes, every now and then on the video game, there'll be like a bonus round. And the kids go, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. That's what the kids do. What do you mean, eat it? No, no, eat it, eat it. It gives you bonus points. It gives you double the points. So sometimes in my life, Hashem wants to give me double the points, triple the points. One time I was playing a video game with one of my kids, and he told me, if you eat this, you have double power. I was like, ooh, that sounds great. Why don't I have double power in this world? Maybe if I eat a carrot, I'll have double power in my mitzvot. So the reality is that Hashem gives you double power or bonus rounds when He sees that you're not focused only on yourself. When you focus on somebody else, He rises you here. That's how it works in this world. When you're concentrating on yourself is good, but that's the inhaling. Sometimes you have to exhale, and you have to concentrate on somebody else. And you'll see, put it to test, that when you concentrate on somebody else, you will gain spiritual growth. In a level that you can't even understand, you're suddenly going to get boost. Wow, I can't believe it, that I understand what I read. So Bezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless you that A, you should find your mentor. You should seek for a mentor. You should pray to the Kadosh Baruch Hu to find you the right person that will know how to pull you out of the mud. And it's a very important thing. And if you do not have a mentor, it doesn't matter how you call it. A rabbi, a madrich, it doesn't matter. Somebody. Somebody that pulls you out of where you are. This is number one. Hashem should bless you that you should be able to find it. And if you can't find it, you pray to Hashem. If you're lacking something in your life, it's because you're not praying enough for it. More than that, Hashem should bless you all that you should have clarity and insight. What do I need to work on? Where do I need to put my effort? How do I grow? What do I need to do? And more than that, Hashem should bless you that you should have the ability to go out of your limitations to help another Jew, another soul, another individual in any way that you can. Whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's financially, it doesn't matter. There are many different ways where I can help another person in their spiritual life. Sometimes just listening to that person. Sometimes just handing out a CD. On your way out, look, there's hundreds of CDs, they're free, take them. Give them out. It's not only for you to listen. Take a few and give to your loved one. Here, listen to this CD. You don't know where you can help another person. The Ashgacha Pratit is going to be the exact CD that you're going to give. That's exactly what they need to hear. And you're going to be the one. You're going to be the mediator, the tool, the channel through the message go through. And there's so much more ways to do it. Some of you told me on the way in, you watch my videos on YouTube, on Facebook, on share it. Share the video. You like it? Then share. You know how they say McDonald's? If you were satisfied, tell your friends. If you weren't, tell us. I don't know if it's McDonald's. I don't know. I'm just inventing McDonald's. But if you like it, share it. Maybe somebody needs to hear it. You know, I'm not a professional in the social media, but I was told now, if you like it, if whatever you do, it's other people see it. So, you know, our Torah says, "Bechol drachecha deo." In all your path, you should know Hashem. In any way, you can be a messenger of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In any way. Sometimes you're embarrassed to walk in the street because of a yarmulke. I know many people, and I'm not blaming anybody, I'm not pointing a finger to anybody. Some people, I was like that. They're embarrassed to walk in the street with a yarmulke. They put the yarmulke when they go into the shul. You know, sometimes such a little thing, another Jew might see you in the street and be like, wow, look at him. He's a simple man. He's not a rabbi. He walks with a yarmulke, all proud. Maybe I can walk with a yarmulke. Maybe I'm Jewish. Hey, I like that look. So you don't even know. Don't laugh. I know somebody who walked looking like this, and some kid came to him and told him, you look so cool. What are you? He's like, I'm Jewish. He's like, how you become one? He's like, well, you buy a black hat and you grow your beard. But the long story short was that this kid came home and says, you know, I saw today, tell his parents, I saw today the coolest man in the world. He's a Jew. And the father told him, you're also a Jew. He's like, really? So now it's just a hat? So this is a real true story. I'm not making things up. So sometimes you don't even know how you affect another person. For you, it seems like, a piece of cloth on my head. You don't know how you affect another person. People are embarrassed to walk with a tzitzit. People are embarrassed to put a mezuzah on their door. People call themselves by their non-Jewish names because they don't want to be identified as a Jew. And I'm just giving different examples because any person has to go out of his way at least, I would say once a day, but I'll give you a discount once a week, to go out of your way to care about somebody else's spiritual level. That's what's going to gain you the biggest spiritual growth. It's the bonus round that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you in this video game. It doesn't give you double power, it gives you triple power, 10 times more power. Video games are based on reality. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu every now and then sends you a bonus round. And when he sees your effort, and when he sees you go out of your way, the more you care about another person, that's where the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes you up. And in order to care about another person, you have to humble yourself. Because if you don't humble yourself, you will never take care about another. You're never going to care about another person. That's why the Ramban says, "Hashpel tatzmecha," make yourself humble. Be'inasecha makom. Hashem is going to rise you up to a level you can't even fathom that you can reach to that level. It's all about how humble you are. That's why the one who affected the most people in the world, who's the famous Moshe Rabbeinu, that we just finished his birthday and the day that he left this world was just today. I mean, now we're already at night. I wouldn't say Moshe Rabbeinu has a yahrzeit. He alala marom. He has a hilula. A tzaddik never dies. A tzaddik is with us forever. But the point is that he was able to affect the most people in the world. When you really think of it, because he brought down the Torah. And I'm not chas v'shalom taking away from the honor of any other tzaddik, but Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. Lo kam navi ke Moshe. How did he do it? He humbled himself. V'aish haya anav mikol. He was the most humble person in the world. He cared about everybody. After getting the Torah, I know the story with Yitro, it should be fresh in your mind, he sat down and answered everybody's questions. Everybody came to him with questions. And he took the time to answer to everybody. Till Yitro came and said, listen, you can't do it. But the point is that that's why Ramban says, make yourself humble. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you to levels that you cannot fathom, you can reach. And if you want to help another person, it's all only if you humble yourself. So again, Hashem, Bezad Hashem should bless you all to be successful in your spiritual growth. That you should be successful in your hashpa'ah, your influence about on other people. Should be successful in everything that you do. And may you go from chayil to chayil, from one level to another level, to grow and grow spiritually. Because when we grow spiritually, needless to say that we hasten the geula, we hasten the coming of Mashiach. And Bezad Hashem should merit to see with our own eyes the coming of Mashiach very soon and the building of Beit HaMikdash. I'm going to already take the opportunity to wish you a beautiful week and a Chag Purim Sameach. And take with you an abundance of laughter and energy of joy. And may Hashem bless you to ad blidai, with no limits. So thank you for your patience. And I appreciate your time. If you have any questions, we're going to take some questions soon. One thing before you go out. I mentioned on your way out, there are CDs of hundreds of lectures. They're free. Take the CDs for yourself. Take the CDs to give out to people. The CDs are free. If you want to participate in the CD distribution, it's supported by donations. Another thing, there are little charity boxes that we have. Take one, put it in your home, put every day a little bit. It goes to support our institute. We have a beautiful institute in Eretz Israel that is serving and influencing thousands of thousands of people. Be'ezrat Hashem, you can take part of it and participate in it, and the bracha comes from the Kadosh Baruch Hu in an abundance. Any question that you have, please feel free to ask. I think we have about half an hour for questions, and then we have to leave. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Shehakol Niyam Yoroh.